Check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfuckers.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We need a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics, just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, you kind of view the digits. Everything free to download the scene. Oh, yeah, we deserve the real.
Unstoppable, we beat, we fight, our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we show love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two-pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder masking music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming in strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Hey, what's up, Busy? How you doing, brother?
I'm living. What's good? How you doing over there, man?
I'm doing real good, man. Glad to have you back on. It's been a minute, but I know you got this new fire album. You know, pre-orders are live right now. Carbon Monoxide, man. I read the post. You said that this is your best album to date. Man, tell everybody about this new project and what makes it the best.
I mean, well, you know, the sound, the time put in, the mixing, the mastering, it all was like everything was looked at with a fine tooth comb. Like, you know how sometimes you get producers that produce but don't mix and master, or artists that don't really particularly pay too much attention to the mixing or the mastering of their own vocals, and there's always some sort of an issue. With this one, it's absolutely no issue. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to miss everybody. Ain't turned down too low. Long gone. You can hear that in there. So it's all the way around the board. You know what I'm saying? It's my best project to date, sound wise, you know, content wise. So definitely. But I think all artists want to achieve that.
You know, how do you choose, you know what I'm saying, who you work with as far as engineers and people of that nature?
You build relationships with people.
Yeah.
With people that you can trust. With engineers, it's like, well, the engineer is just an engineer learning your comfort zone and your different ways of working. Some artists get mad that an engineer can't read their mind or don't have a blueprint to exactly how to mix them and how to master them and fall short. And a lot of artists lose interest and don't be able to withstand the test of that time. So, it's all the way around the board, all the way around the board, knowing it, being willing to learn each other and go from there. You know what I mean? So that with any relationship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? The album, from what I heard, you know, I heard a track we're going to play here in a little bit called Stalking Me. Man, phenomenal. You know, and it's refreshing to hear lyrics that stays in the game too. You know what I mean? Because a lot of cats, they're dumbing their stuff down. It's like you kept it authentic to you and to your fans over the years. Is that important for you at this stage in the game?
I think it's the dumb it down ones are, you know, the 360 deals and,
well,
you know, sign for the quick money and, you know, ride auto-tune as long as they can, it's always going to be that element in music. I think that true lyricism is out here, man. J. Cole, true lyricism, he's doing numbers. Kendrick Lamar, true lyricism, he's doing numbers. Even
yeah.
Drake, true lyricism, he's doing numbers. So it there is no short of successful content musicians. It still exists. It's just, you know, I think that that state of mind kind of comes from the artist that doesn't have that, that doesn't have what they see a newer artist have. When you have it, it's a whole lot easier to adjust. It really, really is. So I think that that's the real secret to that, in layman terms, of course.
Yeah. I tell you what, and plus it's good to see, you know, a lot of these collaborations nowadays. Like I just interviewed Schoolie D the other day. Him and Ice-T, after like 35 years, just did a record together. I love that. That's so good for hip-hop, man. And you guys, I always considered yourself and Bone people that fought for the art form. You know what I'm saying? People that really stood up for it when nobody else really was, man. And I commend you for that, Busy. Real talk.
Well, I appreciate it. You only can do it what you love. You know, we got that Panther soundtrack and, you know, everything that we were a part of and everything we were able to see, the stopping of the welfare system and just that whole thing. We always had content and we always had a reason to stand up because we come from the disenfranchised areas of our neighborhood. We come from the poor section. So we were always thrust into that position because it was all about bringing it back home, back to the impoverished where we used to be. So, yeah, man, definitely, man. Built strong by the streets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and you coming from Cleveland, you know, a lot of talent in your city. Last year we had the opportunity interviewing your son. Very, very talented. So the talent's in the DNA, you know. What's it like to see him out there performing and doing his thing?
Well, it's real fun, you know. Just knowing he was born to do it, you know, watching him grow as an infant, he was just born to do it. He was born for it. That's the only thing I could really tell you. He's been into music since he was before he could walk.
Oh.
And so it's real refreshing just to see him fulfill who he is, but going through each step, you know what I mean? And to see my other son with me, YBL Sinatra, and my niece with me, Ajene. So it's a lot of, you know, my grandmother, she has 38 grandchildren.
Wow.
And great-grandchildren, amongst just my sisters and myself. So...
Oh.
We have a huge family, and there are a lot of musicians.
Oh, that's what
so
I was saying.
It feels good to see the whole family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And, yeah, it just feels really, really good. It's refreshing, you know what I mean? It's real refreshing. We're in a good place. Rent, you know, everybody's rent's paid, everybody's car notes are paid, everybody's mortgages are paid. Everything is really, really good. You know how they say, nah, for once, it's nice around here for once. Yeah. It's nice around this world for once. So, yeah, we all in a good state right now.
Oh, and I'm glad to hear that, man, because you worked so hard over the years to be in that state, you know?
Yeah.
You put in the hours for sure. If anybody has, it's been you. What gives you that longevity?
I think a clean life. Like, you got to be fucking sober. You can't be fucking high. You can't be fucking with, like, exotic drugs and shit like that. You know, you got to make sacrifices and shit. You know what I'm saying? Things that you wouldn't want to do. You know, sacrifice certain things, you know, for the betterment of the future and know that it's for the future. You know, anything that has anything to do with you keeping your shit in order or getting your shit together, and, you know, having a goal and willing to achieve it and make sacrifices in your own life is always a good step towards the future. So it's just that. It's just making the right decisions, you know, in life for yourself. Know what's good for you and know what's bad for you. And shit, but for artists, man, don't be fucking with no lean. Don't be fucking with no coke. Don't be fucking with no heroin. Don't be fucking with no speed. Don't be fucking with none of that shit. Or you ain't going to be able to maintain your fucking life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to slow down. Don't worry. You're going to be able to take your time, the lights, the camera, the action. It's going to always slow down. So enjoy the speed of the industry. And when it slows down, then pace yourself and play for the long haul. Basically it.
Definitely. Anybody listening that, you know what I'm saying, is going through things, you know, with substance abuse or whatever, you're living proof that you can turn yourself around and get on the right path.
I ain't never had no goddamn substance abuse problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never been on no bullshit, like, ever. You know what I mean? Like, I've never had a substance abuse problem. Yeah, I got drunk and drank too much and got on the grand and pulled out musket rifles and shit and guns, you know. I'm still neighborhood nip, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, but it, what I mean is, like, you know, like heavy drugs, the drugs that really, really fuck you up, like crack, coke, heroin. Never do no shit like that. That's the only way, because I never did no shit like that or never tried to do no shit like that. So I've always been able to bounce back and still stay where I'm at. And that's really the only way that I could have. The only way.
Yeah.
Staying away from them three monsters all my life.
And that's, you know, that's a hard thing to do too, because it's so readily available. Like, nowadays, everyone's talking about popping pills and Molly and this and that. It's like, man, they need to leave that shit alone, like you said. It's almost like they're pushing a death culture to the kids.
I think when you're young, your body is invincible. And I found that out by drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking until my body told me, look, you can't drink like this. Like, you just, that's just something that you can't do. With them other drugs, they make you dependent. Like, they make you dependent on them. You know what I mean? And it kills a lot of the artists. Yeah, it's readily available because it's a way that dope dealers make money. Of course, they at all the motherfucking concerts. You want a bag, nigga? Slide you in your bag for free. Now they got you as a customer, and then they at every show serving the artists. I got them bags. The motherfucker making $5,000 here, $5,000 there. You going to big ass shows and big festivals, and you know everybody like to do the shit. Shit, that motherfucker leaving. That motherfucker is leaving Woodstock with about shit 70, 80 stacks, maybe even more. So, yeah, of course it's readily available, but it's up to the artist, it's up to that person. Just believe that God is blessing you and believe that that ain't the way you have fun. I was blessed in my neighborhood. Yeah, in my neighborhood, that, you know, crack was always with a dope fiend, doing a dope fiend to do anything to get that narcotic. So that fell up under the lines of powder and every motherfucking thing else. That was like a no-no. From being in the neighborhood, literally watching crackheads crawl around in your bathroom and sniff rat poison and seeing what it did to them. That shit was never appealing to me after seeing that. I was like 14, 15 years old running a dope house for my sisters when I moved to Cleveland. So I seen it like that. So that kept me away, for real kept me away. Just seeing that at such a young ass age, and then meeting Eazy-E at 16, it made an impression on me for the rest of my life. And ever since then, I ain't herb, wine. I used to like to drink back in my days. Now give me a little red wine, or I'm good. Some herb, chilling.
You met Eazy at 16. Wow, that's
That's
a lot for a 16-year-old to handle, man. What was it like, and what were your first impressions of Easy when you met him?
Well, I was a mature 16 because I already had two kids and one on the way. So my whole thought process just going out to L.A. is we got to make it at that young of an age with me and my boy, you understand? So we went down there, the four of us, and Wishbone stayed home. But we went down there, the four of us, and we struggled. And when we finally met him, it was just they locked the door on us to where we couldn't receive his call at the house that we were staying at. And then you know how the devil works. You know what I'm saying? You know how negative energy works. As soon as something good happens for somebody, here come negative energy to spoil everything. So we listening to the phone ring in this person's house that we were staying at while Eazy-E was calling us all night long. So then after that, we made it back to Cleveland soon as, because like that same night that that happened, we seen Eazy-E on the box, and he was going to appear in Cleveland at LaVert's. So we traveled all the way down to Los Angeles just to go back to Cleveland to meet Eazy-E. That's a part of the story that motherfuckers missed the irony in. But, yeah, man, so it was just, it was major, man. And then it was on and popping from that point on. I was a mature 16, and my boys was ready to rock and roll. We picked up Wishbone, and the rest is history.
That's crazy, because last night I was talking to Rendezvous, and he was telling me when he and Easy were 16, what they were doing and stuff, and Compton, and it's amazing how all this stuff connects, you know what I'm saying? All those years later, you were able to meet him at 16, you know? Do you feel, you know what I'm saying, Easy-E, I mean, now, obviously, but in the past, do you feel he got the credit he deserved for what he created? Because I think if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be a lot of people doing what they're doing.
I don't think that the impact, because remember, he passed away at like 30, 31 years old, you know, but then Pac and then Big, and then you started hearing the word legend being thrown around and NWA movie, and I think at that point and at that time, was the proper timing for them or for people to say what impact he made. So I think it happened right on time. You just kind of remember he died so early. Nobody was really calling him a legend at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just shock from what had happened because that just wasn't talk. Hip-hop hadn't reached that. People weren't even calling Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five legends. Not like they use the word now. Every time you turn on, you know what I'm saying, they social media, the legend, what's a legend, what's a legend? You hear that shit more and more and more and more, but they never said that in abundance to Rakim. They called him the God. They never said that type, you know, so it's just a fad. It's like a trend. It's just something trendy right now. So, you know, as that word grew and that came in, and that, I think it happened at its proper time, just to be totally honest with you, you know what I'm saying? Because he get an outcrying and an outpouring of love everywhere, especially since that movie came out.
Yeah. I personally would like to see two movies, an Easy Does It movie and a Bone Thugs and Harmony movie, or even a Busy Bone movie, because your life by itself is extraordinary. All the stuff you've been through and you're still here putting out dope music. Is that something that you might want to do down the line?
I think we've all tossed it around here and there. And some of us, I believe, have gotten behind it and gotten in front of the project. I've definitely gotten in front of it. So, yeah, it's definitely something that has to be in the near future. You know what I mean? Has to be documented. For sure. That's like a definite, though. You know what I mean? That's a definite. That's like, I think that's just action. That's an action move. So once that goes into action, then, yeah, that's definitely a definite. But, yeah, definitely, it's enough to tell. It really is enough to tell. It's just like the new edition story and, the Bobby Brown story and all of those different things. It's just so much going on right now with Netflix and Hulu and the movie industry, that the possibilities are endless. Stars, Lifetime, so much. It's just so many opportunities, you know. So, yeah, I think in one of those kind of ways that the avenue is so open for it, I mean, you have to be a fool not to walk, at least take in a few meetings.
Yeah.
Up to a few. Yeah. There's a story to tell.
Hell of a story. I also like to see a Ghetto Boys movie. Rest in peace to DJ Ready Red and Bushwick Bill. They both were fixtures on the show. We miss them dearly. Do you have any stories about Bushwick Bill from over the years?
Yeah, that's my guy. He's a good guy. I remember we were at this hotel, and I was sitting at the bar, and he said, "Yo, busy yo." He said, "I drink Bombay. This has all the ingredients on the side, busy yo." So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, "Yeah, it looks pretty good." You know, I'll have a glass. You know what I'm saying? So we were just drinking and talking, and then all of a sudden he took his eye out, and he put it in the glass. I said,
out of the blue.
That's enough for me. Just out of the blue. He was like, "Look, busy, look at this. Yo, this is going to trip you out, busy." So I'm looking at him, and he did that. So I took one more drink. I said, "Well, I'm going on upstairs. I got some fine shit going on upstairs. I got somebody waiting on me." So I love you, and it was great getting drunk with you. So, yeah, that was one of my Bushwick stories that I always tell. What I always tell, but at least I cherish it in my heart, you know what I'm saying? And I've worked with him on several shows, been on the road with him several times, Bone and Face and Bushwick and the Ghetto Boys. We ran through the same circuit for like 3.5, maybe 4 years. So, yeah, definitely. Plenty of Bushwick stories, but that's just one of them I'm fond of when popped his eye out and put it in the goddamn fucking Bacardi glass.
That's wild. Yeah,
Bushwick was
crazy.
That's
got to be something to see, literally.
No, Bushwick was crazy. Bushwick was crazy. He's crazy. He's cool. He's cool crazy. He's a cool crazy.
Yeah.
Rest in heaven.
Yeah. I interviewed him about 4 years ago, and we get done with the interview, and he calls me, and he's like, "Where you live at?" And apparently I stayed about 30 miles from where he was at, and he asked me to come pick him up and take him to the bus station, right? So I drive 30 miles to go take him to the bus station. He ain't even there. I call him up. I'm like, "Bill, where are you?" He's like, "Oh, my bad. I'm on the bus." So he was already on the way out of town towards St. Louis or something, you know. But hell of a guy, man. He's going to be missed many times over around the world, man. We're losing a lot of these guys,
sure.
You know. And like I said, DJ Ready Red, Fresh Kid Ice, a lot of these pioneers, you know, so to speak, we're losing them. And I think it's up to us to keep their name and their legacies alive, man. But speaking
of shows,
definitely. Talking about doing shows, you know, Bushwick and stuff, for the Carbon Monoxide, you doing shows right now to promote the new album?
Yeah, we just did a little tour. Not a little tour. It was about, say, about 40, 50 dates to where we did listening parties. And just to get the record out there and to see what people were thinking about it and getting the vibe out there, everything was very, very successful. We're taking the show on the road, of course, making it bigger and better. And so, yeah, definitely forward thinking as we speak. So, that's what we're doing right now. The Carbon Monoxide, the pre-order, everything is going so amazingly well that I can't stop and enjoy the success of it because I'm staying 3 and 4 steps ahead of myself with what I need to do as far as advertisements and just everything, the video, the pre-release and just everything that goes around it. So I've been so swarmed, you know, with everything that I haven't even been able to enjoy the success.
Yeah. Yeah, looks like it's going to be a phenomenal project. When I first heard the Carbon Monoxide song, I was like, holy shit. You know what I'm saying? That was like the ether, the no Vaseline of modern times, so to speak. But I had no idea you were going to name your album after that. You know, what made you want to name your album after the song? Just its potency?
It just felt good. It felt good.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with we want all the smoke. You know, like
yeah.
it just felt good because the entire record is issue based, it's fun, but it's just that smoke. Production wise, lyrics wise, voice wise, just it is that smoke. I'm standing behind it the way that I am and with such a surety because I know it's that carbon monoxide. It's that shit. Like, this is the shit they've been talking about. This is the shit they've been saying, man, I wish Bone to do, I wish it's that. And it's like, it's that shit. Like, it's that. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very adamant about it. I'm very excited about it. You know, it's been a long time coming for me to release a solo project that I actually get the opportunity to promote and really just go for it now that I know what I'm doing. You know, it's not difficult. You know, it's really, really, really not difficult. You can hear the cha-ching in your phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can see what you're doing. All within your fingertips. You can see how fast your marketing dollars, yes, you can see how fast your marketing dollars is being times by 7. We put 1,000 in it, but we've made 30,000 back.
Yeah.
So you see it for what it is, just from your advertisements and all of these different things. You know what I mean? It's really working really, really hard to have the system and sticking with the system, having great people around you and a great team and just, you know, doing what is already available at our fingertips. All we need is great material. And we have that. We have great fans. Bone Thugs and Harmony fans are the greatest, man. They are the greatest, and it's so many of them. It's so many of them. That they some of them still own CD players.
I'm
so
one
many
of them.
Of them.
I still
I'm
got
just
to
saying,
see.
It's so many of them, and all they wanted was this, and then consistency, which we're gonna keep going, and 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 keep going, and keep going. We have our plans, but one thing we know we're going to do is continue to make projects, continue to make great music, and continue to go out there and touch these people.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. And you're signing 1,000 copies, speaking of physical copies. That's dope, too. A lot of guys ain't even messing with the physicals anymore.
If you don't do physical copies, it's not really a real record release to a Bone fan because they already have all of the other records. They're going to need a physical release of that. And then when you're doing it, oh, my God, you should see the support, brother. They know that it's me.
Oh.
Directly me. And the support is crazy. It's crazy. The support is crazy because they're like, oh, this is going directly to BB. This is going directly to Jam TV. They feel it. It's not like it's going to some greedy record label. And the work behind it, it's like that Marlon Wayans movie Sextuplets. Same vibe.
Yeah, it's always good to put out your own product, you know, you're able to do that. You know what I'm saying? You're able to, like you were talking about JamTV. We're going to talk about that when we come back because I want to go to a song. But before I do, ever since you put out, you know, the single Carbon Monoxide, you know, like I said, that was like a modern-day ether, man. Have you ever been able to chop it up, reconcile with Migos or see them or run into them since then? Or?
No, well, I heard that 21 Savage apologized to Lazy over the phone. And that's the only thing I heard about the situation, you know. So I don't even think it's one of those things, you know, that you can't really chop it up about. Well, he apologized for saying he was going to fuck his wife. And you still said that, you know, nigga can't pull out no M's. And so that's the last thing you said to the world. These niggas are old, nigga, old ass niggas are old. Hey, a minute, bitch. I'm just about as old as you, bitch. We look the same.
Anybody that's over 40, they want to look at us like we're dinosaurs. It's like, no, we're still young. We're in our prime, damn it. You know?
I'm just saying, just little small nitpicking things. When you golden and you legendary, those kind of words just bounce off of you because, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Something they're saying now. They called Rakim the God. How can you cheapen that? But you can cheapen the word legend by adding old head on it. And then when you add a little bit of broke to it, when you add a little bit of money, oh man, that's worse than a fucking rap diss. The only thing
damn
you
it.
Can do is come back with $100,000 worth of jewelry on and pristine camera work and a pristine project that you get behind. That's the only thing you can do after that. There's no, after someone says some shit like that and attacks your hip-hop savvy, you can't do nothing else but turn what we call all the way the fuck up, my nigga.
Because yeah,
you done
absolutely.
Basically tried to dig me. You done tried to dig me a grave that I'm supposed to just hop into, taking a higher road. Mm-mm, fuck that.
Yeah.
And you just cannot leave it like that. You cannot go back on the road singing Crossroads after that. Yeah, you can do Crossroads on your set, but you got to be doing something now. Fuck that.
So I've seen it
for what it was as an artist. You know what I'm saying? There's no sense in people screaming for me like that if I don't think that way.
Yeah.
So I took a proactive approach. You know what I mean? You see me, you see $100,000 worth of jewelry on this. What's good? And we moving forward like that.
And really, when cats do that, let's do a million-dollar challenge or this and that, I'm thinking, shit, man, it should be based on talent, not materialism. Materialism is a fucking mental disorder. You know?
All you gotta do is represent all of the hard work that you have put in as a artist that's been in the game for 27, 26, 25,
absolutely.
Or however many years. You got to show up to work, bro. You gotta show up to work like, nigga, I ain't wasted a dime. I ain't smoked up shit. Nigga, it's right here. I'm still here. That's the only way you can answer that attack. The only way. You can look at my net worth, my nigga. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like on some
absolutely.
Real shit. So, I mean, that the only, and that's why it was a must that the Bone fans said, nah, BB, you got to say something. You got to do it. We not satisfied until you do it. And now they're peeling me off of these motherfuckers. And that's why I hit them with stalking me. And that's why I hit, and that's why I wanted to put out, well, first I put out the what Easy said in remembrance of Nip. I just put out a little piece of one of the songs that's going to be on the new record. I remember what Easy said when, you know, and just in remembrance of Nip. But I wanted to put out this new single, Stalking Me, because, you know, to switch it up, to let them know this album is about the shits, man. We want all the smoke with this record. This record is all smoke. And
hell,
it's
yeah.
Really, 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 really a dope. It is a dope-ass project. That shit is fire. That's all I could really say. It's fire. As soon as everybody hears, they're going to be like, okay, he wasn't playing.
Most definitely, most definitely. I'm going to let him hear Stalking Me, because this is, like you said, man, this is a phenomenal track right here. And then I'm going to come back. I just got a couple more questions for you, Busy. Been an honor.
I'm in.
You know, I want everybody
right here waiting on you.
Everybody listening, man, check this song out, and we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Are you how you are? You keep on stalking me, stalking me. Are you how you are? She just wanted me to talk, mad cause I didn't fall off. I guess it's the fact that she couldn't see blood. Somehow she lost all of my colors. Said, "Baby, you tripping?" So they seen that bunny just wanted my money. They probably could get it. She being vindictive, but I just don't give a. Would have been a better reason to get rid of it. You wanna be famous, you better come up with another lick. Cause the shit that you was hitting is irrelevant. And while I'm standing up these little girls, let me handle this. You got a minute to fame, it's time I detonate in front of my brother. And I'm a better man of rhetoric. It's been 5 years, quit stalking me, quit trying to talk to me. Please realize that you lost me. I'm trying to let you down softly, softly.
Are you how you are? You keep on stalking me.
My journal and law, thought she was all in my head. Gave her the code to the gram, had everybody like, damn, look at how happy I am. My baby mama looking sad as she can. Embarrassing, but I was into that then. Finessing the fam, she borrowing time. It's all in my mind, it's close to the end. So now we just playing this chess, both of us different intentions, and then I sacrificed the queen and took it upon myself to win. She met the fam, went across the board, hit her with jam, stretched the floor, stretched the mother, get married now. She ain't never gonna back no more.
Are you all you are? You keep on stalking me, stalking me.
Stalking Me off the album Carbon Monoxide. You guys need to support that. You know what I'm saying? Get that, pre-order it. You know what I'm saying? We're back here with Busy Bone. Man, that's what I'm talking about right there. I know the fans are amped up to hear that. But in addition, you know what I'm saying, doing music, you got a YouTube channel that's popping, Jam TV. Man, tell everybody a little bit about that, Busy.
I opened up about eight and a half months ago. I decided to vlog. My girl, my fiance actually, said, you know, we should just vlog. We should put it together. We should do it. I got it. And just everyday stuff, baby. Just do everyday stuff. Like, sound cool. I'm in. and we get to edit it. We do it all ourselves. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm in. And it's just been growing, like, you know what I'm saying? And I started cooking on there, and then that one took off.
Yeah, I've seen some of that.
You know, and so it was just watching it grow and watching it grow from zero followers to 53,000 followers or 54,000 followers in the course of about 8.5 months. And, you know, it just it gives me a way and an outlet so I can release more of my material, so I can talk to the people and connect with my fan base and the Bone Thugs fan base and just new fan base and just people that love music and my art form and art form in general. So it just gives me more access. So, yeah, Jam TV, you know, it's every episode was there was love put into it. It was love, you know what I mean? Hard work, editing. It's not just some thrown together type stuff. Like when we put it together, we put it together so it they can watch it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so, yeah, TV, I started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's content. And then, you know, it's for my son as well, celebrating the birth of my son and how he's growing up. And just it's all of that. It's just everything wrapped into one. Just my life with my fiance. We're finna get married February 1st. And just that journey.
Congratulations.
That whole journey. Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's about that time. The old player got to put his running shoes up. I got put my wingtip shoes up, man. I got to put the gators up, hang the gators up on the light pole. But yeah, saying all of that, just in a really, really good space, in a really, really good lane, and making the best music of my life, making the best moves of my life. My team is strong. We talk every day, so. Yeah, Jam TV, man. Jam TV. Type in Busy Bone, Jam TV, and it'll get you right there. Y'all can check it out. It's real, real dope. Y'all gonna love it. Trust me.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Busy, always a huge honor to speak to you. I've had the pleasure. This is about my third interview with you over the years. I'm gonna fade out, but before we go, I'm gonna put on my homie Sin from France. It's actually his birthday today, so. He's going to ask you a couple questions to close this out, man. Thank you so much, brother, for your time.
Okay, no problem. And then I want you to give me a few seconds afterwards so I can shout out my different projects as well.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. I'm going to give you the floor as soon as Sin is done.
My man.
Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Billy.
Happy
Bones.
Birthday, bro.
And Larry. Yeah, really thanks.
Yeah, what's really going
nice.
On? What's going
thanks.
On?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm glad to talk to you. I got some questions, yes, about your song No Surrender back in the day. It was a crazy song, especially your rhymes on it, and produced by Unique. Can you tell us about this one, No Surrender? It's a crazy song.
Classic.
Oh, what the No Surrender song was just, that song was just created like running from the police. Like, I wrote that whole thing as if I was running from one time. So, yeah, definitely. It's one of them ones. So I created that on that level. It's definitely a good song, though. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what was your mind when you did Face of Death in 91? It was your real debut. Can you tell us about the album back in the day in 91?
Yeah, definitely. It's in our growing phases as we were getting older and more mature as a group and sitting down, writing and formulating songs together, learning subject matter, producing on the record. So when we put that record together, it was really hands-on for us. I produced two songs on there. Lazy produced two songs on there. Crazy produced two songs on there. I think Wishbone, he only had a verse or two on there. And Flesh at that time was a big super, was a basketball, high school basketball superstar at that time. So the whole environment around that was cutting class and drinking 40s and, you know, smoking weed and really, really young. I'm talking 14, 15, real young. So, yeah, so that was the making of Faces of Death.
Yeah. Class. It came by the name of Urban Enterprise. So after you go to with the name Bounty Ceremony, it was goes to EGE, want his name, or it's a patch.
Okay, repeat that whole question again.
you came from Ban Enterprise, and I heard about EZE would have Tales and Harmony or something. He would add the name.
Yeah, I got it.
EZE.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, well, no, yeah, we that was more of, I don't know how you might understand this, but it was more of our presentation. We'd say, hey, what's going on? What's up? Our group name is Bone, and we Thugs in Harmony. So we wouldn't say we're Bone Thugs in Harmony. We would say, what's up? We Bone. I'm Lazy Bone. I'm Crazy Bone. I'm Busy Bone. I'm Wishbone. I'm Flesh and Bone. And we Thugs in Harmony. And that was just our presentation. And then they would say, how are you Thugs in Harmony? 187 is a lesson for them niggas that want to test. We just went in. So what Eazy-E basically said was, that whole thing should be you guys' name. It's like, yeah, that'd be cool. But it was always from us.
Yeah. And how it was to record with Tupac on Talk Love Studio, how it was to deal with him?
Oh, it was really, really nice. You know, I reached out to Shug. I reached out to some people out in Death Row, and he just showed up to the studio. It was just him and me and the Outlaws there. And we recorded the record, and then when Lazy and all the rest of the fellas got in, they was like, oh, my God, this got to be a group song. This could not be your solo song, B. And they was right, and the rest is history.
Oh, so that was going to be a solo song.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm going to give you the floor now, Busy, but before I do, I want to ask you one last question. Biggie, your verse on Notorious Thugs, man, hell of a fucking song. Everybody killed it. Even Biggie, man, I think he adapted well to your guys' style. You know what I'm saying? What was it like doing that record, you know what I'm saying, with Biggie?
Man, it was a party. We got so fucked up. I mean, we got so drunk and so high. It was the perfect studio session. It was the perfect studio. Somebody even walked in with a Tupac shirt on. Get back. Get your ass out of here. It was the perfect studio session. We got good and fucked up and put together a monster track. I'm talking about a monster. So, yeah, definitely. That was just the environment and how it went down, and everybody went in there, rocked their shit. I did my shit in one take, put light dubs on it. Diddy was like, "That's all I need. You can leave studio. You good. And me and him been good friends ever since then.
That song is timeless. When you said 666 Rivals, were you talking about 3-6 at the time? So they kind of
we were talking about the actual evil.
Oh, okay.
We weren't talking
the
about
devil and
them,
shit.
Them dudes
yeah.
that's playing it. We weren't talking about dudes that's playing it. Like they just to me, I don't think that they believe in Satan. Like, I don't think that that's what they really believe in. Like, I don't think that they full-fledged devil worshipers. At least I know Gangsta Boo isn't. So, you know, I thought that was more of a gimmick more than anything else. You know what I'm saying? No shot in the dark, but I don't think these niggas worship the devil. Because I haven't seen them at any of the devil meetings in social media. So, social media, you see everything. So if they're at the devil's meetings, I'm quite sure on social media we'll see them. So,
we'll see them, yeah.
No, it was real spiritual warfare. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was real spiritual warfare. Like, so. Yeah, it was just spiritual warfare.
Yeah, I always wonder that, because I know at the time, I guess there was the who created the styles. And me, as an outsider, I was thinking, well, Bone doesn't sound like 3-6, and Do or Die doesn't sound like Bone. They're all different. You know, like, you guys had your own unique style, you know, that nobody else had, you know. And I never compared groups other than Fast Rap.
I think people are going to start stuff or do this or do that or try to pump something up that ain't actually going on all the time. It's just who going to take the bait. When you're young, it's easy to take the bait because you're already full of misplaced motherfucking fire. But when you get to be seasoned and you learn the game a little bit more, then you're able to navigate your way through that kind of stuff. And you say, I added something to the music industry, so it's okay to hear similarities. That's when you mature and you get over that hump. And you got your 401k in order, and you got stocks, and you got Bitcoin. And you got that's when you're there in your household, you are there outside of your household.
Yeah. Most definitely. I tell you what, Busy, man, thank you so much for taking the time out to do this interview. But before we get out of here, please, take the floor. Let them know everything you got coming out and where they can follow you, get in touch with you, the whole nine, brother. It's all yours.
All right. First and foremost, I want to give a major, major shout out to the Murder Master Music Show, my man's Prez. Chi-Town in general, thank you for the opportunity. This is Busy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony. And I have a new website, www.iambusybone.com, and you can get all fresh new merchandise, limited gold edition copies, as well as regular physical copies, posters, necklaces, shirts, hoodies, that I have put together for you guys. It's really nice. Check out the website. I think you'll enjoy just looking at the website. Of course, on Instagram, it's Mr. McCain, MrMCCANE. On Facebook, I am Busy Bone. Jam TV, my YouTube channel, type in Jam TV Busy Bone, and you'll see me there. And rock and roll. Appreciate you guys. Chi-Town, Prez, already know. God bless y'all. I appreciate y'all. Carbon Monoxide, 912, coming out September 12th. J. New Oliver Beck, man.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Busy, you take care of yourself, man. Be safe on the road whenever you go out doing shows for the new album. And, man, let's do this again in the future, brother.
Sounds good. Thank you for playing the song, and I look forward to checking you out when I get to the shot.
Most definitely, most definitely. That's what I'm talking about. That was Busy Bone. We're going to leave you with Stalking Me one more time because that's such a dope track. We will see you guys real soon right here in the Murder Master Music Show. Also, happy birthday to DJ Lord Sinister. Thank you for calling in today and your birthday, brother. We'll see you guys real soon. It's the Murder Master Music Show.
Yo, y'all know what it is. Young Busy Bone on the Murder Master Music Show. With Young Prez, keep on teaching them. You know what it is, man. Bone Thug. Yeah.
You keep on stalking me.
Need to talk, mad cause I didn't fall off. I guess it's the fact that she couldn't see blood. Somehow she lost all of my colors. Said, BB, you tripping? So they seen that bunny just wanted my money. They probably could get it. She being vindictive, but I just don't give a. Would have been a better reason to get rid of it. You wanna be famous, you better come up with another leg. Cause the shit that you been sitting is irrelevant. And while I'm sitting up these little niggas, let me handle this. You got a minute to fame, it's time I detonate in front of my brother. And I'm a better man of rhetoric. It's been 5 years, quit stalking me. Quit trying to talk to me, please recognize that you lost me. I'm trying to let you down, stop.
You keep on stalking me.
my journal with love. Thought she was all in my head. Gave her the code to the gram. Had everybody like, damn, look at how happy I am. My baby mama looking sad as she can. Embarrassing, but I was into that then. Finessing the fam. She borrowing time. It's all in my mind. It's close to the end. So now we just playing this chess. Both of us different intentions. And then I sacrificed the queen and took it upon myself to win. She met the fam. Went across the board. Hit her with jam. Stretched the floor. Stretched the board. I'm about to get married now. She ain't never gonna back no more. No more. No more.
Stalking me.